Good to see everyone this morning. Before we start, let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God, thank you so much for being able to come this morning, beautiful morning of life. Thank you for your word. Help us to wake up and look into it daily and before we could go to bed and study and learn. Bless all the church this morning. Be with Charles as he brings the lesson. Be with our leaders of this country, they'll make good decisions. Be with the sick, so many on the prayer list. Help them be restored to their health, if it be your will. Forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings when we fail you, and help us do better. Always put you first. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Didn't get quite as far as we thought last week. We'll get end of chapter 4. I'm going to go over that a little bit. We know chapter 4 of Ephesians was the unity of the church, having unity, and the many ones we know, Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We went over all of them in chapter 4. And unity, of course, is doctrine and also getting along with one another, having love one for another. We can't leave one out and not the other. Got to have it all, don't we? Last week we learned about the talents and things that God gave the church. He gave some apostles, and they're gone now. Prophets. We still have evangelists or preachers. We still have pastors, that's elders, and of course teachers. And what was it for to have these? What's that for, preachers and teachers and pastors? Yes. Be leaders to lead the church and for perfecting of the saints, for the work, isn't it? The work of the ministry, and edifying the church, lifting it up. Okay, let's go to 24 through 32. We'll go over them and maybe get in chapter 5 this morning. Jim, would you mind reading 25 through the end of the chapter 4, Ephesians? Yeah. Okay. Paul's ending this chapter with several things we need to be in our lives and things that's not to be in our lives as Christians, as the new man. Jim read 25. Look at 24 there. It says, put on the new man. That's when we become a Christian. Do away with the old man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We're to put on the new man. Wherefore, putting away all lying, speaking every man truth, verse 25. One of the things God hates is lying. We're not to lie, we're always to tell the truth, don't matter who it is or what it is. He said, speak to every man truth, verse 25, with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We speak the truth to each other in the church. We're never to try to change anything. There's no little lies or white lies. I don't believe it's. We've got to tell the truth. And that's for a neighbor, it says, and in the church. He says in verse 20, Jim read, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We've read these scriptures many times, and I'm sure we all get angry at times. But it's how we control it. We don't let it go on. We can't let it go on because the devil might get a foothold on us and have us do things we wouldn't normally do. Get rid of the anger as quick as possible. Not let the sun go down. It means don't keep it in your mind and heart. I thank the Lord give us that emotion or the word that we will get angry at times and not wrong, but it's how we control it. We get rid of it. Any comments on anger, and the tongue there, if you speak false lies? And you know, it's possible you could try to teach someone out here in the false doctrines and things that sounds real good. Don't sound like they're lying to you when they say, receive the Lord in your heart, pray a prayer, and you'll be saved. Well, that sounds good. But the Bible teaches us if it's not the truth, it's a lie. We cannot change it in any way and expect to have the truth. Truth is the Word of God, isn't it? And lying, there it is again. Speak everyone the truth. You remember when you was a kid, how you'd maybe tell your parents a lie? Or did you do this? Or was you over there at this time? Or whatever it was. Oh, yeah. Well, that wasn't right, was it? One lie will lead to another. You ask me that today sometimes. That's hard to get around, isn't it? Neither give place to the devil, 27. That means you don't let the sun go down, you don't keep your anger, or the devil's going to work on you and have you do things you shouldn't. On your wrath, it said, on your anger, whatever. Neither give place to the devil. Then he goes on 28 talking about stealing. It's not right, is it? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. A lot in there. He that steal, if a person is stealing, stop. Let him labor, work on a job, and make a living honestly. That's what the Lord expects us to do, isn't it? Working with his hands or her hands. The thing, what? Which is good, King James says. And this is very important, that you may give to him that needs. There's another thing. If we work and make a decent living, we're to give to those who need help if they need it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Jim read this, corrupt communication. That could be cursing or slang words. Also, destroying someone's name or talking bad about them out in the world and whatever to belittle them. No corrupt communication. There's a tongue again, Jim. We're not going to control the tongue 100%. James says you can't control it to perfectly. You have to work on things. If you're not doing a good day's work, that's stealing, I think. We're to keep busy and give the company a good day's work. Even though if they don't like you and they're even crooked at some places, God expects us to do a good day's work. Okay. No corrupt. Daryl had a good lesson last week on words coming out of our mouth. We think, well, I didn't mean to say that, but he was saying, well, it's in you, or you meant to say it. But he had words there. It was, didn't look like bad words, but little slang words that Christians need to watch and not say. Slang words. Yeah. And some people get angry real quick, fly off of the handle. Some gets angry just slowly. Yes. Never-ending growth, isn't it? And grieve, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. What's he saying there? Someone want to tackle that one? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. I think the things he's talking about here grieves the Holy Spirit. We have the Father, God, Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit we received when we're baptized. And it's saying here, he doesn't like these things. And it makes him, sad. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. When we're baptized, we're sealed into the day of redemption. But that sealing don't mean once saved, always saved, I don't believe. We can lose our salvation. We can go back in the world and that seal is not there. So that doesn't mean we're sealed, never be lost if we have to keep faithful to God. Commentary I'm using, Wayne Jackson, about the grieving the Holy Spirit. He says here, grieve is a strong figure of speech, magnitude of sin. The Holy Spirit is a divine person who must be treated respectfully and lovingly. Remember, he's a deity of God, God Father, God Son, God the Holy Spirit. To grieve him is a sin of considerable degree, though doubtless all have done so. We all sin, ain't we? The Christian receives the Holy Spirit, I just said that a little bit ago, at baptism, Acts 2:38. Such is a divine seal that we are children of God. And we look forward to the day of redemption. Okay, any comments on the Holy Spirit? 31:32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, he's mentioned them all here, and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All this bitterness, anger, if we don't get rid of the anger, that's really the only one that's not a sin in here. Anger is not a sin if we get it in control. Bitterness is a sin, isn't it? Clamor, evil speaking. He says, let it be put away with you. Full malice. Malice is sin. That's wanting someone else, maybe hurt, that don't deserve it, or you don't like. You don't like them. You want them, something bad to happen. That's not good. I'm not saying like someone murders someone, there should be justice, and people want what's right in that. That's not being malice there. Justice needs to be done in the right way. 32, and be ye kind. This is the opposite, isn't it? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's the traits a Christian should have. Be nice if everyone in the world had those, wouldn't it? Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. We have to forgive one another. God, Christ said, if you don't forgive others, His Heavenly Father won't forgive us. Even as God, for Christ's sake, what? Has forgiven you. Christ don't expect us to do anything He wouldn't do. And here we have, Christ went to the cross. Isn't that forgiving? Isn't that tender-hearted? Kind, and He's loving. Any comments on that chapter? Verse 31, all that bitterness and all those things is a negative scripture, and 32 is a positive. Things we want to add to our lives. There's nothing else. We'll go in chapter 5 and get started on it a little bit. Chapter 5. Charles, would you mind reading maybe 6 verses? Chapter 5. Okay, thank you. Paul starts out here, Charles read, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That's a great challenge, isn't it? Very strong and challenge to follow God, to be more like Him and do what He wants. It's not easy, but it's easier if we get in the Word of God and really study and love Him and meditate on His Word and prayer and worship. makes it a lot easier. We have to do those things in order to please God anyway. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We're to walk in love. And that walk is a whole area of life, isn't it? It's everything we do. It's more than just getting up, going to work. It's knowing God's will and meditating on His Word and doing things God wants us to do. That's followers of God. What's he mean there in verse 2? And walk in love as God, Christ also had loved us, has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. What's he saying there? Paul said, be followers of Christ as I am of Christ. Don't follow me, Paul, but follow Christ because he's following Christ. Okay? Walk in love as Christ also loved us, verse 2, and give himself for us. That's offering himself on the cross, wasn't it? What a great sacrifice. Perfect. He was perfect, did no sin, and yet look what he did. A sacrifice to who? God. For a sweet-smelling Savior. It was pleasing to God what Christ had done. And we do all this by walking in the light. We walk in the light of God's Word. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, that's God, if we say, yeah, we are following God, and walk in darkness, we lie. There's the word lie. We can't love God and follow Him and be in the world or do what the world does. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's great to have fellowship with God, isn't it? And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Only the blood of Christ cleanses us if we walk in the light. Very important. Okay. We'll get another verse or so, too. But fornication and all uncleanness, that's any type of uncleanness, whether mind, things we think and meditate on, uncleanness, covetousness, wanting something that belongs to your neighbor, you don't want them to have it. Let it not be once named among you as become saints. Have nothing to do with those words, them things. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. That's coarse joking or dirty jokes. Have nothing to do with that. Nor jesting, which are not convenient. That's all kinds of wrong joking. Good to have a joke, clean joke, nothing wrong with that. But rather giving of thanks. Charles read these other, we'll read these and stop there. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, we went over them, who is an idolater, that's idol worshiper, or puts things before God, that could be anything, couldn't it? Money, sports, anything. Hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. That's pretty plain, isn't it? We can't be doing these things and expect to go to heaven. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, all those things we read, comes the wrath of God upon the children of what? Disobedience. We're talking about Christians here, too. If we're Christians and we're involved in these things, we need to change it, don't we? He said, be not ye therefore partakers with them who do these things. The wrath of God there in verse 6. You know, a lot of times people want to think God is, and He is, He's loving, He's caring. But there's also another side of God, because it says here, the wrath, the anger of God. The Bible teaches us in Psalms, God is angry with the wicked every day. And He has a right to be if people don't change. But I'm just saying, there is a wrath of God also. We're going to stop there, and we'll start there and have a little review in chapter 5. Start there. Thanks.